Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. It is Dr. Sasheen. You have reached the Bliss Report. Please don't hang up or leave a message because we are here. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Tuesday. So hope that you are having a great morning so far, that you have gotten up, washed your face, moisturized. Come on, make sure we do that. Gotta protect that skin. That you've had a cup of something great or you're on your way to do that, and that you are ready to get in to it. So yesterday, I talked a lot about the pandemic blues and the fact that some of the stuff that's been happening is kind of messing with people in the way that is not healthy for their mental health. So yesterday was really all about focusing on your mental health and deciding if what you really need, excuse me, is a life coach or an actual licensed therapist. So if you haven't checked out yesterday's episode, you definitely want to go back and do so. Give a listen to it. Leave a rating or review on wherever you find my podcast, so I know that you're out there and that you're listening and that you're getting the content that is valuable to you. Okay, so today is Tuesday. We are chatting, continuing this week on what I'm calling self-love, self-talk, self-care week. This is always about self-love, self-talk, and self-care. But this week, I really want to focus on how we're talking to ourselves, how we're giving ourselves permission to be more than what we think that we should be. And I use should, not could, because you could be perfectly happy with who you are and where you are and how your life is going. But if you think that you should be someplace else or you shouldn't be feeling a certain way, then I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to the people out there who are like, I should or I shouldn't, or because shoulding is, I like to say, shoulding is just shooting all over yourself. And I did not say the word that you think I did, but you get my meaning. And so our self-talk is directly linked to our mental health care, to our physical health care, to our emotional health care, and to our overall life care. And one of the things I want to talk about this morning is this idea that somehow, if we've done something for a certain length of time and we choose not to do it anymore, that we have to go through literally gymnastics to make it okay for us to just decide that who we have been and who we want to be are now two different people, and that we're just gonna move into a new phase of life, and we're gonna take ourselves there by how we talk to ourselves and how we stop talking to ourselves. So that's coming up on today's episode, and yeah, we'll get back into it right after a word from our first sponsor. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Oh, you know what? I forgot the intro. My engineer's gonna kill me. So, whether you're listening to me on the phone, on the car, on the go, on the treadmill, on the Peloton, on your morning commute, over coffee, over tea, no matter where you're listening, welcome to the Bliss Report. Good morning. It's Dr. Sasheen. Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way, you got to get that tag in there because that's how people find me. So, I was doing research for this particular episode, and one of the things that I came across was, this idea that you hear on social media a lot about how women, especially over a certain age, just feel like they're too old to pursue anything that would make them excited for the next 30 years, okay? And what I hear a lot, what I see a lot, especially in a very video and picture focused world, is that if I'm trying to do something different, it has to look a certain way. It should look a certain way, or it's not trendy, or it's not this. And my heart breaks a little bit, because as we age, listen up, ladies and gentlemen, but as we age, we get the joy of giving ourselves permission to not have to conform to all the trendy things, right? Like, we give ourselves the permission to stop and go, whew, I'm gonna breathe into, I'm gonna lean into, or lean away from this path that I've been on, or this thing that I am choosing to do, because I can. Because with age comes this beautiful thing called perspective. And hopefully, as we age, our sense of knowing who we are and who we want to be increases. Now, what I see is a lot of women who know what they want to do, know what they want to be, know what they want to pursue, know how they want to live, but they don't pursue it, they don't live it that way because they say to themselves, well, if I were younger, if I, you know, if maybe 10 years ago I might have, or that's a young woman's game, you know, that's a young man's game, that's not the game for me. Or there's, you know, there's a litany, I call it the chorus of the old. There are a litany of phrases that I hear and see on social media that, you know, it indicates that the mindset of a lot of people over a certain age starts to get to the place where it's, you know what? That's for young people. That's for the millennials. That's for the, and unfortunately, because we start saying things like that, we also get all crotchety about things that we perceive young people being able to do that we either cannot do or choose not to believe that we can do. And so we get really upset with people who are doing the things that we want to do, but we've decided that we're too old to do them. My father, oh God, I love my father. My father is an older man because I'm a middle-aged woman, but my father walks 4 miles a day. And I say this because my father is not he is a man of a certain generation and of a certain age, but I find that his generation, or at least him, he has this mindset of he's simply not too old to do anything that he chooses to set his mind to. And I've watched that example my entire life of a man who just is like, you know what? I'm just going to kind of live my life the way that I see fit. And sometimes it's trendy and sometimes it's not, but always it's me and I love it. And I love it. As his daughter, I love that feeling that sometimes life will look exactly how I want it to, and sometimes it won't. And if it doesn't, I have absolutely all the time in the world to start again, to course correct, to remake, to reinvent, to reimagine, to redo, to reuse, to, you know, refill in whatever adjective that allows you to feel like it's okay to move forward, whatever that adjective is. And it seems as though there are a lot of people for whom after they cross a certain milestone, and I hesitate to use age simply because age is an obvious one, but I also understand that for some people, I've got, you know, I have kids, I can't do this. I had kids, I can't do that. I used to do this, and so now I can't do that. When I was younger, I could have, but now I cannot because, and again, fill in the blank. And what we're doing is we're setting ourselves into a cage, and then we're shutting the door. We're not locking the door behind us, though some people do. But we're not locking the door behind us, but we're standing at the door of our own self-imposed cage and saying, I should be happy in here. Because I walked in, remember? I walked in. Well, remember, darling, when you walked in, it probably looked like a house that you wanted to live in for the rest of your life. And now it feels like a cage that you're ready to move on from. And I think as we get older, we start to believe that the cage that we chose in our youth, or the house that we chose in our youth, that's now becoming the cage that we're not really comfortable in anymore, we have to stay in because, you know, we're getting older. And who wants to make that change now? Who wants to start over again? Who wants to reimagine, reinvent, redo life when I'm so used to this house/now cage that it would be so difficult to imagine life outside of it? And so we talk ourselves into believing that, well, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I would have. When my kids are older, I will. When my kids get out of the house, I might choose to. And we stay, and the house that's now becomes the cage, that has now become the cage, becomes the dungeon that we feel like we should stay in because we picked it. Well, if you picked it, whether it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or 2 years ago, why can't you unpick it? Why can't you choose to go forward into what I like to call the song of the good life, as opposed to staying in the chorus of the old life? Okay, and the song of the good life says, I have so much to add to the world. Why am I staying in this cage? I have so many experiences that I'm bringing with me as I walk through the doors of this cage. I'm taking what I've learned living in this house out into the world, and I'm going to create a bigger house, a better house, a more me house. And isn't it going to be fantastic? The song goes something like, I am open to the new perspectives that are on the other side of this door that I don't know anything about, but by virtue of knowing who I am and the strength that I have, I am confident I will figure out how to navigate those new perspectives. And when you say, I have learned much and I still have much to learn, and you go forth in the open spirit of curiosity about what could be next for you, then you stop feeling like you're living in a cage and you realize, I am simply standing in a place where I can stand in a different place if I just start moving, if I just keep moving. And part of the movement, the action, is how you talk to yourself. Part of the getting off the should button, getting onto the could button, and finally pushing the do button is how you talk to yourself each step of the way. Like I said, there's a chorus from the old life. There's a chorus of the old mindset. There's a chorus of the old stagnant place that you find yourself in that speaks only to the things you cannot do. That speaks only to the life you cannot have, because how could you have that life? You've already spent 20 years doing it this way. Why on earth would you do it this way? That's too hard. There's just all these young people and they're so much faster than I am. And they have so much more fill in the blank. And then you remember that around you, when you were in your 20s or 30s and you were lighting the world on fire, there were also people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s watching you, and some were inspired by you and you were inspired by them. So you have to remember, now that you're past the age of 40, probably 50, maybe 60, that as you live your life, you're inspiring someone by how you choose to talk to yourself and how you choose to do your life. Remember me mentioning my dad? He's such an inspiration. Like, I can remember growing up through high school, everyone talking about my father. Sometimes it was, you know, how interesting he was, but always it was that my dad was just so my dad. Like, he's just my dad. And everyone loved the fact that my dad adored his daughter, that'd be me, and he seemed to adore his life. He seemed to always be living his life. That often rubbed people the wrong way, but it also inspires a lot of people to this day who tell me how much my dad's presence and how he was in the world inspired them to continue to pursue who they are in the world. So you might be sitting at 40 something going, if I change my whole life, or if I choose to walk away from this relationship, or if I choose to go do this thing, then I'm going, you know, I can't, because what will people say? I'm getting up there in years. I should be thinking about doing, you know, this, I can't think about doing this. Well, if you don't want to do X, Y, and Z, then why are you focusing on X, Y, and Z? Somebody out there is watching you waffle, watching you struggle with the decision of whether or not to pursue A, B, and C, because they see the light in your eyes when you talk about it, or to continue doing X, Y, and Z as they watch the light dim in your eyes every time you think about it. And we have a responsibility to ourselves to talk ourselves into the beautiful life that we see. What we tend to do, though, is talk ourselves out of the beautiful life that we see because we're shooting ourselves into the cage. We should, I can't. Okay, next thing I want to talk about, this idea that if we are being honest, one of the key things that I see on social media, especially in Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, all of those places where people are chatting, because that's what we do now. We chat around the social media, water cooler, as I like to say, is this, and I'm going to grab, because I've got two things I want to make sure I get to, is this idea that we have to be a certain way with age. We have to keep doing the things that we're doing in a certain way, because we don't recognize that sometimes we're in a situation because it has given us life for a moment. And sometimes we're in a situation because it's who we're going to be for life. And let me say that again. Sometimes we're in a situation that has given us life for a period of time, for a finite period of time. And sometimes we're in a situation for life, that it's how we're going to live our life for our entire life or for the rest of our life. And that feels good. And let me give you an example. I am a lifelong learner. When I am in a situation, when I'm in circumstances, and they always look different, or sometimes they're, you know, they're marginally the same, but when I am around people who stretch me, when I'm around circumstances that grow me, when my brain wrestles with something that I don't understand, but that's giving me this sense of excitement, that's a life for me. That's a lifelong relationship that I have with the great mysteries of the world. I want to sit and study and understand how things work and how people work and what makes them tick. This love that I have allows me to have relationships that feed it, that make me continually seek out people and places and things and experiences that bring me this sense of joy and life-givingness. Contrast that with situations that give me life for a finite period of time. This may rub some people the wrong way, but here we go. There are relationships and situations that for the time that I was in them gave me all that I could have hoped for, all that I could have possibly wanted in the moment. And then after a time, I realized that they'd given me all that they could. That the person that I was when I walked into the situation or the relationship and the person that I was in that moment of realization, we're now two different people. This is neither bad nor good. This is a neutral statement. But this is where it might get a little sandpapery for someone listening out there. When someone looks at their life and says, huh, I don't think this is what I want to do anymore. It has less to do with your, with you or how you have impacted their life. And it has everything or mostly everything to do with the realization in their world that the situation or relationship gave them life for a time, that the situation or relationship that gave them life for a time may now be taking life from them in a way that's uncomfortable. So you may stay in a situation because of the kids, because of the obligation to the organization, because you feel like you should accept and appreciate this thing that someone has given you, which you really didn't ask for, but you should accept it. So you may stay in what started out as a life-giving relationship, only to find that at some point in the life-giving became the life-taking. That the giving relationship that supported you and nurtured you and that you could support and nurture is now taking from you the things that you don't want to give away. And that may be your time, your attention, your love, your caring, your affection, your money, your stability, your sense of adventure, your sense of wonder. And so when you start to realize that there are certain situations and relationships that give us life for a time that may not give us life forever, then it begins to make sense where your itchy feet may be coming from, because you may have reached the end of the place in that particular situation or relationship where the life-giving force of it has stopped. You have reached the place where the purpose of being in that relationship is no longer the purpose of your life. So it's time to move on. And I know out there somewhere are going to be a lot of people going, that's just selfish. You have to honor your responsibilities that you make to people. Let me explain something to you. If Netflix, and I'm going to use an organization, if Netflix had honored its obligations that it made to its initial customers, none of us would be streaming Netflix on our TV. We would be going to the mailbox and putting our DVDs back into the mail, hoping that we didn't get late fees. And Netflix would be out of business, basically, just like Blockbuster, if you remember Blockbuster video stores, is out of business. And the reason that Netflix would be out of business is because they would not have recognized that the purpose of their relationship with their customers had changed and how that purpose needed to change to continue to have a long-term life-giving relationship. If they didn't get the message that they needed to continue to change and adapt to the circumstances of their customer, and they stuck to my purpose is to deliver DVDs to my customers, that is our purpose, that is what we're here for, that's what we're here to do, then they would have been left in the dust like so many other organizations have been, because they are unable to look around and go, our life-giving relationship that we had with these particular sets of people, that's over. They don't need us like that anymore. They just don't. So we can either find out how they need us now and adapt, or we can move on. And this happens in personal relationships the same. A life-giving relationship will either adapt to who you are becoming and continue to support you in that adaptation, or you will leave it behind and go find a different kind of relationship that begins to give you life again. And by life giving, I don't mean that you need it to live and breathe, though some people might argue that they do. By life giving relationships, life, you know, relationship that give us life for the moment, allow us to do certain things in our lives, like start a family. We get married, we couple up with someone for a purpose. We have a very purposeful relationship with them, and it gives us life to have that purpose in our lives. One of the most amazing purposeful relationships I have is with my son, the parent-child relationship. But I understand at the young, tender age of 8 that one day the purpose of my life will not be the purpose that it is now in his life, and that our relationship will have to change so that I can continue to give and breathe life into what I hope is a lifetime relationship. A good lifetime relationship. Let me throw that caveat in there. A good lifetime relationship with my child. One that when he's my age, talking about me in some form or fashion or form, that he says what I just said about my father, which is, that is an amazing mom. And she was an amazing mom. And she inspired me to do amazing things. And you know what? That's what I'm working for. That's the purpose of this relationship. But the relationship that brought him into the world, the relationship with my ex-husband, his father, that relationship ran its course. And after a time, it became clear that the purpose that brought us together was not going to keep us together. And the purpose that I needed to pursue became clear was not the same purpose that had brought me into that relationship. And so I moved out and I got a divorce. And the reality is that happens to a lot of people. The purpose that brings us together doesn't necessarily keep us together, because the purpose changes. And when the purpose changes, the relationship changes. And when the relationship changes, it may stop giving us life, and it may begin to take life from us. And when it crosses that barrier from giving us life to taking life from us, a lot of us choose to act. And a lot of us choose to stay and not act. And that's where shoulding on ourselves really comes into play. This idea that we should, for the sake of this, not do this. Because if we do this, then we're going to displace the entire world order, and the universe is going to explode on itself, and the stars are going to fall from the sky. None of that ever really happens, but it feels like it could. And so therefore, we should just stay where we are, suck it up, buttercup, and be happy. And this is where I would say, actually, suck it up, buttercup, and don't be happy. Be upset. Be rail against the dying of the light, right? Take the time to say, okay, I don't actually like this. And then you can ask the person that you're in relationship with whether or not they're willing to go on the ride of rediscovery with you. Maybe the purpose needs to change for the two of you to stay together, for the situation not to dissolve, but to morph and transform. Maybe you're both in the same boat and you're both ready to go, okay, it's not a cage. It's still a house, but daggone it, we need to redecorate. These walls is funky. This color is 1970s beige. Or we need to completely raise this house to the ground and start building something new. But if you don't acknowledge that the things that have given you life are now taking life from you, when you begin to say, I'm too old to make a different choice, I can't live the life of my dreams, when you start shooting yourself into a corner of a cage instead of expanding into the fullness of your space, then what you say to yourself is, I may have a lifetime of relationships and circumstances that would make me feel amazing and allow me to do wonderful things, but I will not do that. I will simply not do that. I will choose to stay small, and I will choose to stay where I am. And in the process, I will choose to make myself miserable and probably everybody else I come in contact with. Because we all know that it's really, really easy. It's really easy to spot the person whose life is just miserable, who is absolutely, positively miserable. So what have we learned today? We have the chorus of the old. The litany that comes with the passage of time or circumstances that we tell ourselves so that we don't have to make the hard choices about what to do with a life that we're no longer excited by. Then we have the song, the absolute beautiful song of the good life, the song that we sing when we realize that We don't have to should ourselves into anything. That we can have exactly the kind of life that we seek if we simply decide to stop shoulding and think about how we could and potentially even push the button that says, let's do it. And along the way, we find that we have several kinds of situations and relationships that will help us get to where we want to be. And those lifetime relationships that we have, the ones that are going to be with us until the day that we die, the one that I have with learning, the one that you may have with art and music and opera, the one that you may have with my son loves mathematics. I'm going to use that example. The one that I hope that he always has with math, that he feels like that it's a living, breathing relationship. The lifetime relationships, the lifetime beautiful things that we're going to do that are going to stick with us, that are going to be part of our tombstone story, our obituary stories, that we're going to pursue those and we're going to give ourselves permission to examine and either change, transform, or discard the kind of relationships and situations that give us life for a moment but may not give us life forever, because that's a distinction that if we make it, we can stop worrying about if we're supposed to or if we should do something. We can start talking to ourselves about the possibilities of what we could do and how we can do something. And we can recognize that the purpose for anything can change, which means if our purpose has changed, then somebody else's purpose might also have changed. And maybe by choosing to move into our own space of greatness, we're giving somebody else permission to go do their space of greatness. That we release others from having to stay with us in a cage that we have created. And instead we say, can we all just walk out of this door together? And we may all go our separate ways on the other side, but at least we can walk out of it together, giving each other permission to be free. Because freedom, after all, comes with age. Freedom of choice, freedom to be who we're going to be, however we're going to be it, is one of the perks of getting older, right? It's one of the things that we should all be going like, I've earned the right. I have earned the right to be me. Whatever me, I need to be. That's it for this morning. Hopefully this finds you in a space of not wrestling with how you should be living, but answering your question of how could I be living? Because that one shift in language, that one word change will in fact change how you see your life today. Not tomorrow, but today. When you say to yourself, it doesn't matter how I should be living, how can I be living? Think of the possibilities that come along with the idea that you can. And think of the things that you no longer have to focus on when should gets deleted from your vocabulary. All right, I've preached to the choir this morning, I'm fairly certain, but I hope that you have found some value, and I hope that this brings a question to your mind that you want to answer. Are you ready to step out of the cage, or are you ready to turn that house into something better than it has been so that you can live the life that you see in your head out in the world of your actual reality? This has been Dr. Sasheen and The Bliss Report. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We're going to end with a brief word from this sponsor, which is me. If you don't follow me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, please do check out the hashtag TheDailyBliss, which is my personal hashtag, where I put all kinds of interesting things on that hashtag for you to get blissful, for you to find joy in your day, for you to feel inspired and motivated and uplift you as you go about your day. So if you ever get on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and you put in hashtag TheDailyBliss, especially on Instagram and Facebook, all kinds of things that I put out there will pop up for you to go, hey, I like that, or that's cool, or that makes me feel good, or let's just get our dance break on, because that's what I need in this moment. So please follow the hashtag TheDailyBliss. Also, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating or review wherever you are listening to this podcast, because after all, it is out here for you. Finally, if you are listening to me, the recording of this and not the live broadcast, become a subscriber, get content behind a paywall, but get content that's created specifically for you. Thanks so much, everyone, and I will see you again on Throwback Thursday, where we have more going on about self-talk, self-care, and self-love this week. Have a good one. Take care. Bye.